Welcome to the Just Music Podcast. Y'all know me as your host, Jalen. Marco is not on this episode, but we have a guy who's been on the podcast before. Very talented individual, very skilled vocalist. He's put out music this year. He's also done had a lot of other accomplishments, hosting Fashion Week in LA, and he's also getting ready to release a new project in the world of gospel music. Nelson Gibson Jr., man, it's good to have you back. How you doing?
Glad to be here. I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, man. I can't complain. So last time we chatted, that was the spring, like April?
Yeah, I had just put out a Much to Ask. That was April.
Yeah, you put out Too Much to Ask, and wow, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, man. So definitely want to go into detail, you know, about really just your career up to this point this year. So we were talking a little bit about you hosting LA Fashion Week. Talk about it, man. How was that? What was that experience like?
Oh, my goodness. It was, first of all, out of the blue. I got a call from Melanie Young, who is one of the dopest fashion editors in the business. And she asked me if I wanted to first come to Fashion Week. And I thought I was just going to come and, you know, kind of chill and enjoy it, whatever. But ended up doing some red carpet interviews, being interviewed and interviewing. I had the pleasure of wearing Abdullah Kamani's spring collection suit. It was an amazing structured piece. And it was just a really good experience. It was a lot, because that's not really my lane, so to speak. But I was honored that they asked me to. And one thing about events like Fashion Week and the Grammys and whatever, there are so many like sub events within the big event. Yeah. So there's opportunity for everyone, whether you're just starting out or whether you've or whether you're a vet in the game, you have an opportunity to network and an opportunity to just create content and just further your understanding, not only in fashion, but in business. Because as entrepreneurs, I feel like it's important for us to be multifaceted in our knowledge about the business. Whether you're in the music industry, it's good to have knowledge in the acting industry, in the fashion industry. So, I'm excited. And I got to do the LA Fashion Week Stories We Tell spread. So I did two covers. Shout out to Marshall Powers. He shot the content for that. And Justin Bobbs and Tajaron Bradstreet, they were my creative directors for it. Jamari Sleephart. So it was an amazing experience. And I would do it again. I maybe do one event at a time because I had a whole jam-packed weekend and I was slightly going crazy just a little bit, but it was fun. It was totally fun.
No, for real, like that's a really cool experience, because I saw some of the pictures and it looked really fun, man. Like, that's really cool that you had the opportunity to experience that. And then on top of that, I really like how you said how, you know, at events like the Grammys or Fashion Week or any of those big like events, those big glamorous events where, you know, you have all the celebrities, there's events happening within those events. So like you said, perfect opportunity, you know, to relate it to music. If you're an artist or you're a producer or an artist manager and you're looking to get some connections for yourself or the people that you work with, like events like that are just perfect.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, also like it all comes full circle, because you start to see, like, once you are in a certain industry, a lot of people know a lot of the same people. Like the world is, when they say like the world, it's a small world, like there's definitely some truth to that. Cause I mean, you probably worked with, you know, people in the music industry where, they know people that, you know, right here in Charleston, and they all the way out in LA. So, you know, It's really cool how being in an industry that allows you to really network and put yourself in a position to elevate your career. So yeah, I'm very happy that you got the opportunity to do that, because that's something that not everyone has the opportunity to do, and it's something you can only benefit from. So
absolutely, for sure.
And then to touch a little bit more on music, so I was looking and I saw that you also did you are getting ready to release a new project soon.
Yeah.
Talk about that, man. So.
Intimate Spaces.
Yeah.
First of all, I will preface this by saying we always have our plan. We always have how our agenda and how we think things are going to go. But God always has a different route. He always has a crazy way of doing things. Last year, right after our interview, that following July, I had a live recording, which was really the end of my summer tour. And the live recording happened, and we put out The Great I Am the following year, and it did really well. It's still doing really well on radio. And I had anticipated, okay, well, the live album will be finished and we can just put it out and it'll be great. But during my summer tour, there was something that just kind of a light bulb kind of came on creatively. Mm. And I was like, I have a whole book of music about things that I have been going through. In September of 22, I lost my friend and my brother, Trayvon, to suicide. And that really messed with my brain a whole lot, my brain and my heart and all my emotions, and being on the road away from my family for 3 months, like, it was a lot. So I had all of this music and I said, wait a minute, this music isn't quite gospel. So how do I navigate just putting out a gospel record, about to put out an R&B record? Are the listeners going to support it? Church people are going to be fickle, but they're going to be fickle anyway. So, you know, whatever. how's the media going to respond? And so when I first moved out here to California, one of my greatest friends, we've grown really close together. His name is Justin Bobbs. He is one of the most genius producers, dancers, choreographers. He's literally all of that. He actually just got another Grammy nomination this year for producing on Black's record. He's that guy. And so my intention, to be honest, wasn't even for him to produce the whole record. But as we started working and writing, and he had like an archive of songs, literally, like, he was like, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I went from having a little mini EP to EP. Now I got a whole record. Because I really combined the songs that we produced with Morel Braxton, with Ty Hunter, and now with Justin. And this was a really big collaborative effort, but all of the songs, pretty much all the cuts that made 85% of the cuts that made the album came from Justin. And he so selflessly poured himself out into our music. I say our music because it's ours. And he just put out a solo project himself, nice. It's called I Wrote This in the Escape of Things, and it's under his alias, The Heart of Glass. That's available everywhere. Shameless plug. Go get it. but the project itself when people hear the word intimate or intimacy, they think about sex, which, I mean, I guess there's some kind of truth to that or whatever, but that's not, that wasn't at all.
That's not always the case, Ian.
Yeah, that wasn't my approach at all. I feel like people gravitate towards me, not just musically or on social media or whatever, but in real life because I'm transparent. Mm-hmm. And if you follow me on social media, you know I'm very open about my mental health journey and my grief journey and how some days are up, some days are down. Some days I don't feel like creating. Some days I don't create because I can't get out of bed. But the point is that you don't stay there. The point is that you find a way to pick up the pieces, even if it's just two pieces. You don't even have to put the whole thing back together. Pick up a couple pieces and keep moving. And that's really the whole idea of this project. I went through not relationships like romantic relationships, but some relationships just not ending well. Yeah. So talk about that on the record. There's a song on the album called Love You, Hate You. And it was originally called I Hate You, but I'm like, that's a little harsh. So I'm gonna change it. And that song, when people hear it, they're gonna be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. But that's how I felt.
Right.
And that I felt like that person, sometimes you can feel, whether that's like a mother or a father or a sister or brother, if they've done you wrong, you want to say, I hate you, but I still need you. Like, I need you to live. Like, you are a part of me. And so that was my approach to this album. So Intimate Spaces, I'm inviting every listener into those intimate spaces that I really don't let anyone but God and my therapist and my mama and my daddy see. So I'm excited about it. This is one of my first, I'll say this is my first like really, really personal project. The last two albums I put out, they were also personal, but they were also still kind of masked by the praise and worship genre.
Yeah.
But this time it's raw. It's what you get. And, so I'm expecting some people to raise an eyebrow or whatever, but the truth is I'm growing. I'm a full adult now. And there are things that I need to say that I can't say behind a pulpit.
Right.
That does not mean that I'm backsliding or that I don't love Jesus, because I'm still very much saved and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. And I'm always going to lead worship. And the thing is, I believe that the music that I'm getting ready to put out is still honoring God, because he wants us to be truthful. He wants us to be transparent with him. And most of these songs are communication with God, which is what? Prayer. So, and I'm not cursing. I'm not being raunchy. I'm not, you know, doing any of those things. I mean, no shade to those who do your thing. But me personally, that's not the route that I chose to take. But I do know that I do flourish in R&B music. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to not only put this music out, but to book new venues and have different networking opportunities at radio stations and things like that. Those things are already in the works. So I'm excited. So we have visuals to follow and all those things. But yeah, my album will be available for pre-order in just a couple weeks. It kept getting pushed back, but I'm very tedious. Justin and I are both perfectionists, so we always want to make sure that we are forever students at our craft. And always making sure that everything we put out, we are going to be proud of years and years and years later. So, yeah.
No, man. So you said a lot of great things just there when you were describing like the creative process behind this record that you're getting ready to put out, and then going into detail about, you know, how this project it's going to be different from what you've done in the past. Because it's more vulnerable. And I feel like, you know, as artists, you know, you use your gift, your talents to express how you feel and communicate that to others, so that when other people listen to it, or, you know, or hear it or see it or whatever, they can relate, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be people, when they hear your record, they're going to be like, I know what he's talking about. Like, I've been through a situation similar, or I've experienced those emotions before. So the fact that he's, you know, detailing this on an album, it makes me appreciate him and his music even more. So I hear exactly what you're saying. 'Cause with a name like Intimate Spaces, you know, it's definitely going to be something heavy, some vulnerability on that album. And then on top of that, how you said, you know, a lot of your music is gospel, praise and worship, Christian music. But with this album, you're kind of flirting a little bit more with R&B music. And I really like how you pointed out the fact that, hey, like, just because I'm, you know, venturing into a different genre doesn't mean that, you know, I'm like changing my whole identity. I'm changing my whole image, my whole persona, or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, good music is just good music.
Thanks.
R&B, gospel, pop, rap, jazz, rock, it doesn't matter. Good music is just good music. And there's no, you will never hear like, the only reason why we have these labels, these genres to categorize music is so the industry can sell it. But other than that, like, like jazz musicians, for example, like back then, if you asked any of those guys like Miles Davis or John Coltrane, any of them, hey, do you make jazz music? They're probably going to say, I just make music. And like when you talk to artists, they say, hey, I'm working on an album, or I'm working on new music. They're not going to say I'm working on rock music, or I'm working on an R&B. I'm just working on music, because at the end of the day, it's just music, and good music is just good music, no matter the style, no matter the genre. So I really like that you pointed that out, because that's facts. And, you know, and you can't please everybody.
No, you can't.
You know, the album could sound top notch, perfect to you. And the person who maybe listens to it, like, I'm not really feeling this, man. So, you know, it's all perspective, and it's all based off of, you know, everybody and their preference and their taste. But as long as you, as the artist, and I believe any artist can take this, whether you do music, painting, acting, whatever, as long as you are satisfied with the work that you are doing and you feel comfortable enough to put it out for public consumption, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. The only validation that matters is the validation coming from the artist, the person making the work, the project, not, you know, the critics. And don't get me wrong, like, when you get the praise and even the critical feedback from fans and the blogs and radios, all of that stuff, you know, there's value in it, but it's not end all be all. So you get what I'm saying? So I really like that you pointed that out.
Eat the fish, spit out the bone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Amen. So I'm excited, man. I'm definitely going to listen to this. I'm excited for it. I'm definitely going to listen to it, and we're going to have it on our, we're going to include one of the songs on our Spotify playlist as well. So you've hosted LA Fashion Week this year. You were also at the Grammys earlier this year. I know we talked about in the last interview that we did, and you are getting ready to release this album.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, what are some other things that you kind of have in the works? I know you've also talked about, you know, press with the radio and things like that. It sounds like you're really on the cusp of reaching a new level in your already, you know, successful career. So I guess, like, what are some other things that you have planned?
Yeah. So, Speaking of the Grammys, I'm a part of a membership called Grammy U, which is basically how I was saying earlier, we always want to continue to be students of music. And the Recording Academy and some amazing people have put together this program basically for artists who are already in the industry, but who just need that extra kind of nudge. Mm-hmm. And of course, it took a lot of courage for me to even do that because it's so tight, you know, everybody wants to get in and all that. So I submitted Too Much to Ask as my part of my application, basically. Uh-oh, I live in the city. There's a train. part of my package, and it was considered for R&B Performance of the Year. The Grammy U nominations, which is separate from the Grammy Awards, but it's all under the same umbrella, really. So that was an amazing accomplishment. So I will be back at the Grammys this year to celebrate that. And hopefully my parents will be here as well. So I'm excited about that. So you got the Grammys coming up. I will be touring with the Young Americans again in the spring. We'll be going everywhere. This will actually be an international tour. So we're going to Canada. So I'll be in my musical theater bag for a little while. So I'm busy. I'm also in school still, so I'm almost done. I'm so super close to being done. So I'll be graduating with my degree in performance with a voice emphasis.
Nice.
That will be I'm at the Young Americans College of Performing Arts.
Gotcha.
So there's Young Americans College and then Young Americans Productions. So I'm just a young American all around, I guess. but I'm excited about everything that's happening. Just been kind of coasting and doing my best, staying on top of stuff and letting God do his thing. And there's a motorcycle going by, and I promise you, we don't care. just letting God do his thing. Definitely, I'm so excited. I had a chance to chat with Kyla Pratt.
Nice.
Everybody knows her as Penny Proud. Yeah. The little girl from One-on-One, you know, Maya Doolittle. I was stepping off the plane at LAX, and of course, she tried to do the whole wear her shades thing. But her mouth to talk, you hear Penny Proud. And I was like, are you Kyla Pratt? And she was like, yeah. And she was so exhausted and tired. And I asked her, I said, are you up for a picture? Like, do you mind taking a picture? Because I know you're tired. Because I know what that's like. People coming up and asking you for pictures and you don't feel like taking a picture.
Yeah.
But she was like, sure, as long as I keep my shades on. So we laughed at that, whatever. And she gave me some, when I say, we were just waiting on our drivers. And when I tell you, she just gave me some of the best advice. I've gotten some great advice from amazing people in the industry. And this is not to name drop. This is just to be a testament of you never know who's watching you. Because I'm just a boy from Charleston who liked to sing and moved to LA hoping something will pop off, right? But I have gotten honor and not compliments to stroke my ego, but compliments to encourage me, genuine compliments. Dionne Warwick, Sarah Smith, Brandy's daughter, Kyla Pratt, Wendy Raquel Robinson, aka Tasha Mack from The Game. And Kyla told me something. She said, you're so super talented, but just remember that this is a business and it's bull.
Yeah.
And it is. But what amazed me even more, she was standing out there in public, no security guard, nothing like that. And all these people were standing around, had no idea who they were standing by.
Yeah.
And which showed me that it's very possible, because I have no desire to be like an A-list celebrity. I don't. I've always said I would rather have the money I would like than to, you know, because I'm not going to lie, being stopped for pictures and people asking for your autograph, that stuff feels good. But I only want that to happen like every once in a while. I don't want it to happen every time.
Right. You want to walk out your house and like paparazzi's all at your door. Like,
no. So my aim is not fame. I've always said that. My aim is just to create good music, be in a couple movies, make some money, and live comfortably. Right. Live comfortably privately, not secretly, but privately. So
everything on your terms, man. Yeah,
sure. And I think artists don't take matters into their own hands because they're afraid. And one thing about this business, even if you are afraid, you just got to jump in the pool sometimes.
Yeah.
It's almost a thing of, am I going to pay for this studio session and eat ramen for the rest of the week? Or am I going to eat filet mignon and never put out another album again?
Right.
Like, these are decisions that we have to make.
Priorities.
Not backed by a major label. So.
Priorities. I heard one of my mentors said this. Entrepreneurs have to make hard decisions to prioritize big rocks. You know? So whatever that big rock is for you, whether it's music, acting, painting, and even if it's not creative, if it's you are a student in law school, or you are a doctor or a nurse, whatever it is, you have to understand what sacrifices and what decisions you need to make so that you can be successful and live the life that you want to live. And not everybody's willing to do that. Not everybody's willing. And it's not that people can't do it. It's just they don't want to do it.
Right.
So, yeah, you're exactly right, man. You're exactly right. And I love what you also said about how in the entertainment industry, or entertainment business, it's entertainment, but it's also a business. And you have to understand both. You have to understand both. Because there's a reason why, if we're talking about the A-list celebrities, those at the top 1%, whatever you want to say, there's a reason why they continue to stay relevant for so long.
Yeah.
You understand not just music, not just entertainment, but they also understand the business, and they have a team around them that also understands.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. So we got about like 8 more minutes. Anything else you wanted to share, man, before we get out of here? You've dropped a lot of gems. You've said a lot of great things about what you have in the works. So I'm excited for you, man. I really am.
Yeah, no, that's... out of all those things that I have going on, that's it. Yeah, that's all for now. There's always something going on behind the scenes, but as of right now, those are all the major things that's going on in my life: school, music, and entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Keep going, man. I'm proud of you. I'm very happy for you. We have yet to actually meet in person.
I tried to think in my head, I'm like, have I ever met him in person? I don't think I have. So many opportunities.
I saw you in person, but I didn't know you. Oh. I didn't know you then. It was I saw you twice in person, actually. One was at Blue Bistro in Charleston. I think Michael Brown, he was having his industry night, and I went out there and I saw you perform. And then another time was, I think it was the Black Food Truck Festival
Yeah, I was out there.
At Music Farm, Le Fay opened up, and I believe you were singing. So I've seen you twice. We just haven't yet to like formally meet in person, but it'll happen. It'll happen eventually. Well,
we got to set it up soon. I'll be home for the Hip Hop Grinch.
Okay, word. Yeah, we'll definitely set it up, man. Well, thank you so much, Nelson, for coming on, bro. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Hearing about the great things you have going on, and hearing about also how you've fallen down but gotten back up, and also how you're just continuing to move forward and strive for great things. So yeah, man, it's an inspiration for real. And I know to the listeners who are listening to this podcast, it's going to be an inspiration for them as well. So thank you, man. Keep going, Brandon, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. And to the listeners of the Just Music Podcast, as always, we thank y'all for continuing to listen. So when this episode is released, when you're listening to this episode, we have officially hit 4,000 downloads. We hit it. So today is November 18th, Saturday, November 18th. That's when this episode was recorded. So Friday, November 17th is when we hit 4,000 downloads. So 4,000 downloads in 3 years. We launched the podcast in 2020. 4,000 downloads in 3 years. And I mean, really in 2 years, because we only put out like 4 episodes in 2020, because we put out our first episode in like October of 2020. And then 2021 through 2023, we were like consistently putting out episodes. So 4,000 downloads. Thank y'all to all the fans, all the guests we've had on the show, to our partners in business. We really do appreciate y'all, and thank y'all. We are continuing to grow and expand, and we thank y'all so much. A lot of great things that are in the works for next month, and also heading into 2024. So we'll keep y'all in the loop for that. Follow us on social media at JUS Music Podcast. We're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. We will put the link to Nelson's Instagram in the description of this episode. And be sure to check out Marco's music, my music. All of that will be in the description of this episode as well. And thank y'all so much. Until next time, stay tuned.